Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, buddy, starting off the final hour of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. We got a lot going on. Our text poll question of the day is up right now. Here is the question. How many local sporting events do you go to in a month? Here are your options to text to 844-326-3663. If you go to no local sporting events, you're just not interested, you're too busy, you don't care, text none. If you go to like one or two, if you're bored, text some. If you go to a bunch, you're at Tribe Games, you're at Triumph Games, you're at Swamp Rabbit Games, you're at Furman Games, you're at Walford Games, text many. And if you're like a season ticket holder for one of those teams, if you're like me, you're at every local game you can get your eyeballs on, text all. Text none, some, many, or all to 844-326-3663, 844-326-3663. We'll tabulate those votes at the end of the show. So far, and this might be the first text poll, that I actually believe you people, 60% of you say zero. You don't go to local sports. You don't care. The first time I actually believe the audience.
Well, you would know because you're there and you can see. I mean, I think there's still pretty good crowds.
Oh, they're decent crowds for sure.
But it could be better.
Compared to places I've been before, they're pretty good crowds. But compared to the size of the market, yeah, we're still pushing for sure. All right, we got Fight Club coming up in the next segment. But before we get there, joining us on the live stream, which you can watch at Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, or The Rob Brown Show on FaceTube?
Yep.
Am I 100?
Definitely FaceTube. On the FaceTube.
That's something like in a movie where they can't say YouTube, yeah. So they say FaceTube, yeah. You know?
Or like backface on the other guys. Or
the Rob Brown like Show that. On yeah. Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch, because I'm young and hip and cool and I know what the words are.
Really? Because hip is really...
I'm not a square.
Okay. All right.
Facebook. YouTube, Twitch, search and subscribe to The Rob Brown Show. That voice that you just heard rudely interjecting on the show before he was introduced is that of the executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear from 7 until 11 p.m. every single weeknight right here on this and find Odyssey stations nationwide. He is the executive producer. He is also an NFL and NBA analyst for the BetQL Network. He is hating ass Mario Heron joining us here on the show. What's up, dude?
Hey, nothing much. You got me really thinking on that little text poll question you got going. Like, that just really spun me for a whirl. Because I moved to D.C. over the summer. I have not gone to a Nats game. I haven't gone to a Capitals game. I went to one college basketball game, and that's it, man. So I would do terrible.
All right, in fairness, though, you like, you're kind of the exception because you work at nights when most of these games are, at least week nights. So it's like, I assume, like, NHL games, you got a home Saturday game, what, like two times a month maybe? So you're kind of the exception.
Hard.
But I'll tell you, like, as somebody who works mornings, my nights are open, Mario. And I mean this, most of my best friends and closest relationships in this city, I have developed by going to our local soccer team, the Triumph, going to our local hockey team, the Swamp Rabbits. Like, most of my best friendships here in this area were developed through local sports. Most of my, like, community engagements come through local sports. I have always said, I believe local sports are a major part of the heartbeat of any community, and yet I got 60% of my audience saying they don't go to local sports, which kind of blows my mind a little bit.
That is pretty crazy, because like growing up in Indianapolis, like you went to Pacers games all the time. Like, that was a huge part of like your weekends. Like, hey, let's go to a Pacer game. Thursday night, let's go to a Pacer game. Like, it was just simple. It's easy. It's fun. You see people you know there cheer for your local team. you get into it a little bit. Maybe there's, you know, a deal on some beer if that's your choice. That's a good time. Indianapolis Indians, they always did that. They always had like good deals. And then
I think you mean the Indianapolis Guardians.
Nope, it's still Indianapolis Indians. Fun fact for you.
Mario Heron from the BetQL Network joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Up saying, all right, let's talk some super wild card weekend. We get it off. Alonzo and I were talking about this one a few minutes ago. We got the AFC kicking it off on Saturday, 4:30 p.m., the Texans and the Chargers. Ryan and Brad, actually, no, Brad, because Ryan got up and left the interview, freaking rude, on Tuesday when I was on. But Brad asked, what wild card teams? It is no shock to anybody that I'm all in on the Commanders this postseason. I am a big fan, but from the AFC wild card list, I'm not a big Broncos believer. I'm definitely not a Steelers believer. The Chargers are super interesting to me. I think they catch the most favorable matchup in round one. 3-point favorites on the road at Houston, which means Vegas believes they're about a touchdown better than the Texans. And on top of that, if they were to see the Chiefs, it would not be until the AFC title game because of the reseeding. Honestly, I'm kind of interested in what these L.A. Chargers are going to look like. Obviously, there's some drama going on with L.A. What happens if they end up making it to the AFC title game and the Rams make it to the NFC title game? Unlikely. But even with all that's going on around L.A., I think of the wild card teams, granted the 5-seed helps with this, but like the Chargers got about as friendly of a path as you could ask for.
They did, because you face a division winning team that's probably the weakest of them all, and the Houston Texans who are coming in very hurt. You know, all their best weapons are out for this game. CJ Stroud has taken a massive step back this year to what he was last year, so that helps you a lot too. And you know, you have a guy that's done this before, that's done this song and dance, and has gone to a Super Bowl, won a championship of college football last year in this stadium that he's going to play in on Saturday. A lot of things go for the Chargers' favor, right? And you know, that being said, I still think it's going to be a tough game for him. I think it's going to be a very, very close game, especially with who the Chargers possibly could have out. Looks like Joshua Palmer is not going to play. Quinn Johnston actually did not practice yesterday, so if those two guys are out, you're going to have to really lean on Ladd McConkey and probably their tight ends options and Will Disley with the way the Texans really struggle to cover the middle of the field. But the thing that's nice for the Chargers is they've always found ways to win. And if you look at this matchup too with the Texans, they have the worst red zone offense in the NFL. Guess who has the best red zone defense? Los Angeles Chargers. Whew, something's going to give, right? And what's going to give is 3 damn points. That's what's going to give. So that really helps them out. And then, you know, in the next round, you look at they face the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know you would think you don't want to face Patrick Mahomes in the second round. You don't want any of that action. Well, if I'm a team that, you know, this is going to piss off Lonzo. If I'm a team that's already faced the Chiefs twice and I get a third knock at it and I have a QB that's top 5 in the NFL, and I have a very, very good head coach, and I have a good system around that, I would be fine with facing them a third time in the second round. I would take that over, actually, to be honest with you guys, going to a Buffalo and facing the Bills for a first time. I would take that familiarity. I would take that rivalry. Anything could happen. That's the route I'd rather go. So I think the Chargers have a favorable route. Now, am I saying they're going to make the AFC Championship, go into the Super Bowl? No, I don't think that's going to happen. But that route of all the teams in the AFC, that if you're looking at wild card and you know you don't want to look at the Ravens or Bills, I think the Chiefs, I mean not the Chiefs, I think the Chargers are right there, right behind them, itching for a run.
I don't know why I'm going to be mad about a team facing the Chiefs that hasn't beat them this year. I mean, you know, 0-2.
That's a good argument too.
0-2. I mean, you know, and you know the team really well, so you don't have. I know it goes both ways, but you know the team really well, and you beat them twice already this year.
And you have, and it's an Arrowhead, and you have the cold weather, which all goes in your favor. It does go both ways. I completely agree. Like I get the other sentiment to this as well, but I'm thinking too. If I'm in that Charger locker room, I'm going, all right, you know, they got us twice. They ain't going to get a third lick in. It's time that we deliver.
All this is disrespectful. I'm going to let them know.
To the Baltimore Ravens, who take on the Steelers at 8 p.m. on Saturday. This of the first round matchups to me is the biggest layup. I mean, the Steelers team got their 10 wins. They kept the Tomlin win streak alive. And then for whatever reason, they have just fallen off a cliff since then. Is there any hope for the Pittsburgh Steelers in this weekend? Because my answer is absolutely not.
Like, not even if George Pickens finds his hands and he's able to catch a ball. Like, it just doesn't matter. Like, the Steelers team, you kind of hinted at it, Rob. This is the Tomlin team that kind of, I think, reached their peak. And their peak was this. And then now it's just been downfall. And it doesn't help that they're facing Ravens team, who's defensively, they're starting to really figure it out and put it together. You have a very strong rush attack that's coming at you with Derrick Henry. Lamar Jackson is going to expose you in every which way. Zay Flowers is still day-to-day, but I don't even think they need Zay to win this game. You know, Steelers are one of the worst defenses facing the tight ends. You know, I was talking to Mark DeFabo last night of The Athletic, who's a Steelers beat writer, and he was saying, he goes, look, I'm terrified of Mark Andrews. You know, just because Zay's out, we struggle to cover the tight end so much. You expect Mark Andrews to have a great day on us, and you know he probably will with how much they know each other. And you have to be in Baltimore. That's a very hard place to play, and you have a hard ball. You have Lamar. The Steelers are just outmatched. They're in purgatory, and like you said, this is the time of year where they lay an egg, and it's time. They're going to lay it.
I didn't know what's happening. Nope, that's on me. Wait. That's an autoplay from my own website. That's my bad. That's my bad, America. Lonzo, you may whatever our version of noob me is, you may do that now. Yay!
That shouldn't count. That should not count.
Absolutely counts.
Fine.
Absolutely counts.
Yeah, then your doing what you just did should count too.
Okay, that's fair. All right, let's take a look at the Sunday matchups. Hate and ask Mario when we flip it on over to the other side of the equation. We'll actually start. There is one more AFC game. That's the Bills taking on the Denver Broncos. Listen, I owe Bo Nix an apology. I thought Captain Checkdown was going to be a waste of time. I'm not apologizing to Sean Payton. I'm not there yet, but I mean, I think at the end of the day, this is kind of one of those spots that sometimes I don't have to overthink it. The Buffalo Bills are just the better team behind Josh Allen.
And expect a lot of checkdowns come Sunday, right? Like, I think that's all Bo Nix is going to do in this game versus the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, I think it's going to be kind of a shellacking. I think Buffalo is going to come out there and really stomp on them. I always have a thing, don't really trust rookie QBs. Also, you know, Bo Nix has played very well, but he's not a rookie QB that's going to win you a game. See, similar to having a similar type of great season that Mac Jones had. I'm not saying he's going to end up beating Mac Jones, but in terms of game managing really well, making plays what he needs to, and he has a strong support system around him, so it's just working in the moment. I think against Buffalo Bills, especially against a quarterback like Josh Allen, you got to have a guy that can just make a play whenever you need to make a play, and Bo Nix is at that. I think the Bills shellac him, and the Bills move on. That's a could-get-ugly game. That's a, you know, hey, boyfriend, hey girlfriend, it's halftime. What do you want to go get groceries? Do you want to go, you know, go get a coffee? You know, it's a brownie points game.
You know what you're saying is maybe what a lot of Buffalo players are saying, and then you turn around and Denver ends up winning the game. And if that were to happen, will you guys be willing to say that Josh Allen is a bust?
Josh Allen's not a bust.
When's how many playoff games has he won?
You're the only person I know.
How many playoff games has he won?
A lot of playoff games, just not against you. You're the only person who thinks Josh Allen's a bust.
I don't think he's won a lot of playoff games.
Okay.
So that's crazy talk, right? That's crazy talk.
Yeah, that's insanity.
Okay.
So you lose to the GOAT, and then you lose to one of the best offensive
guys in
football?
Bust. If he loses to Denver, he's a bust.
Well, if he loses to Denver, we'll have the conversation. But
right, that's
he's not losing to Denver.
He's not losing to Denver at home.
Yeah,
he's not even going to lose to Baltimore in the next round.
Yeah, I would go on that roll. All right, we got three more games. We got about 2 minutes to knock them out.
I can't wait till next week when Denver beats.
Okay, fine. Yeah, but if Buffalo beats him by 21 points, are you going to go, oh, maybe he's not a bust? Maybe he actually is really good?
No, he still has to make it to the Super Bowl.
Exactly. There's nothing he can do to appease. If he beats Mahomes in the Super in the AFC title game, Lonzo will have a reason he's still a bust.
Well, here's the thing. He will still have to win the Super Bowl because that's something that they have never done.
Okay, but if he beats Mahomes is a bust?
I don't understand your logic.
Yeah, neither do I. Yeah, I get it. So that's the point.
Your question makes no sense.
If he beats Lamar next round, is Lamar a bust?
He's not going to beat Lamar.
There it is.
Oh, okay. So then we're playing that game.
Yeah. No. I've already said that Buffalo can't beat Baltimore. So we'll see.
But is Lamar a bust? Because look at his playoffs.
These guys, unfortunately, are in an era of a quarterback who may go down as the greatest of all time.
It's okay for Lamar, but if Josh loses to that guy, he's a bust.
No. Here's
let's make sure we're on the same path.
Here's the thing. Every player on that team is a bust if they can't make it to the Super Bowl and win. If you played in the league,
with Baltimore.
If you played in the league and you never made it and won a Super Bowl like Dan Marino, whoever that is, definitely a bust.
My favorite part is everything you say about Buffalo and Allen, you have to say about Baltimore and Lamar. Okay. It's the same situation.
Okay.
Okay. Long as we're on the same page there.
Okay. Well, I can't say the coach can't get it done because he's won before.
All right. Real quick, let's run through the last three games. I have gone on and said already the Commanders are my wild card pick to move on.
Okay. The only thing that scares me about the Commanders is their defense. 16th in opponent yards per play. You're 18th in points allowed. You're 30th against the run. And then you face Bucky Irving, who's been exceptional this
year. He's a dog.
And then that secondary is pretty good. But at home versus on the road, there's an 80-plus passing yard increase on the road for the Commanders. And then you face Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans. That's what worries me a little bit.
Who's Washington's quarterback?
Okay. Who's
Baker's say his name.
His best year,
say his name.
Jaden Daniels.
Dog. That's all.
And then he'll be on vacation next week.
Not a chance. I'm going to go Washington. Upset win. Rams-Vikings. I think Sam Darnold lost the mojo last week. I think he's going to look much like Sean McVay watched what Detroit did to Sam Darnold and goes, hey, guys, we're just going to do that. We're just going to attack. We're going to blitz 60% of the time. We're going to hustle Sam Darnold to make him make mistakes. Sam Darnold was inaccurate on like 52% of his passes last week. That is tragic for any NFL quarterback. I think Sam Darnold got figured out, and I think the Rams take advantage. Give me the Rams to move on.
I'm on the Rams, too, with this. I'm going to take out last week's game because it was a preseason game for the Rams. But before that, their last three, 6 points, 9 points, 9 points. That's what their defense was allowing. Then they just see the blueprint on Sam Darnold and how to beat them. I think Justin Jefferson, by the way, still has a pretty big game in this. But they have that. The Rams also get a lot of rest. Like I said, like a lot of the guys were out last week. They just rested them. And Vikings played a playoff game last week against the best team, arguably in the NFL. They're going to be a little more tired. They're going to be more banged up, and Sean McVay is going to be at home, and that's a more experienced guy in the playoffs than Kevin O'Connell. I think the Rams take out the Vikings too as well. Rams could be a sneaky team in the NFC.
I agree. That was me and Decker's pick. Same thing. All right, last one, Eagles-Packers. I don't know if I'm the only person. I got zero belief in the Packers. I don't think they're that good. They haven't beat a playoff team this season. I don't expect them to start, whether or not Jalen Hurts is there. I think the Eagles just stuff the ball over and over, keep Jordan Love off the field. I don't believe in the Packers at all. Give me Philly to cover 4.5.
I like that too, and I'm also really nervous because Jordan Love keeps like hinting that he's like hopefully going to play. Like, he doesn't sound very confident that he's going to be out there on Sunday, and if he is, how good is he going to be? How active is he going to be in the passing game? Because you're going to need to be active against the Philadelphia Eagles. I like the Eagles to really take him out here because I was really looking forward to this game, but with the health concerns around Love, man, I don't trust it. So give me Philly.
Same boat. Hating ass Mario.
Hey, real quick. Yeah. Mario owes me a thank you because the first time in the history of his appearances on this program, you and he were on the same side.
That's true.
Against me, passionately against me. And since you're always going at Mario, you're welcome, Mario.
Thank you. And I hope that Josh Allen makes it to the Super Bowl this year.
He's going to be insufferable if he doesn't. You know that?
I know. He's going to be such a pain.
Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hating to Ask Mario, the executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear every single weekday from 7 to 11 right here on this very station, and find Odyssey stations everywhere. Dude, thanks for coming by, buddy. Talk to you next week when we move on out of the Super Wild Card Weekend.
Hey, always a pleasure, and God bless everyone. This is the best 4 days of sports.
I wish you would have said God bless us, everyone. Oh, that would have been perfect.
What?
Goodbye,
you can't
Mario.
Say a little bless up.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Don't.
It's just so random and out of left field. Like
I know, it felt right in the moment.
See you next week. We'll see how you feel in that moment. That's Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hatin' Ass Mario, from the BetQL Network. When we come back, we talk a little wrestling on Fight Club on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome into the Fight Club, where normally we just praise things and like, oh, that was great. That was wonderful. That was awesome. And there was so much build up for Raw on Netflix. But as a wrestling fan, I got to say it was pretty meh. And I'm a little disappointed in that. I think venue may have a lot to do with it, where they were and how they try to cater to the stars that were in the building and all that kind of stuff. But before we get to all that, can Dwayne just leave? Can we just get rid of him? I joked about this the other day that he is the new Vince McMahon. He absolutely is the new Vince McMahon. He shows up, talks about himself, doesn't do anything. And then not only did he do that Monday, he addressed what he didn't do on Monday, on Tuesday, on NXT, and wasted like 8 or 9 minutes of developmental talent who could have had some prime wrestling time. Dwayne just needs to go away. And then he bought more shares and then bragged about it that he's the boss. He is the new Vince McMahon.
Listen, I'm going to start with Raw, and I'll try to run through this quickly. I'm going to start with Raw. Why did we have Dwayne show up? And be if you're going to have him be corporate Dwayne, then put him in a black suit and have him be corporate Dwayne. But you're going to tell me that after we spent 9 months leading up to last WrestleMania, where he was the final boss and he was literally beating Cody Rhodes with a belt to the point of being bloody and giving that bloody belt to his mother in the front of the audience, that they're just good now? They're hugging it out in the front row. They're chugging vodka together. And by the way, while I am not anti-imbibery, I'm a drinker. I acknowledge it. I don't know that Dwayne pounding vodka and then just hopping into his truck and driving away is necessary. Like, even I'm like, guys, like maybe they're like maybe some young impressionable minds are watching.
I did not even think about that. That's a good point,
right? Like, even I'm a drinker. I acknowledge it. I love a little brown liquor here and there. But like, even I was like, maybe don't have him pound the vodka and then just immediately hop in the truck to take off. Like, that's a bad look, even from somebody who likes to go to the bar. Why did we have Dwayne show up and completely do like 70% of the WrestleMania storyline and have Cody Rhodes just be cool with it. Then I have him come out. And again, I don't mind him. That, I believe that's the first time The Rock's been on NXT. I get it. You got. I mean, you have to. NXT is a TV program. Yes, it's developmental. Yes, we care about, you know, Trick and Obafemi and all these guys getting their time to develop and get ready to move up. But it is still a TV show that does still have to pump ratings, and having The Rock show up is a guaranteed ratings generator. I don't mind that. What I mind is either you're a character in the show, Dwayne, either you're The Rock, the final boss, or you're Dwayne Johnson, the guy who has a vested interest in this company, who's out there doing the chee-hoo stuff to get the fans to love you, but you gotta pick one. And to have that sudden switch without it touching a storyline that was the storyline leading up to the last WrestleMania didn't make any sense at all. And when you get to even Rob Brown, who likes to suspend disbelief and just be a wrestling fan to turn the brain off and enjoy it, when you get to the point that you disrupt that, you're creating a problem.
Yeah, I do believe, and it's probably not a direct quote, when he was on NXT, he said that he was, to all the people complaining about it, he's playing 4D chess, I think is what he said.
Yeah, that's the expression that the internet has latched onto when people do things that don't make any sense. People rush to defend them by saying, "Oh, you wouldn't understand. You just don't see the plan." We do it for celebrities, musicians, politicians. When they go out and they grab a mic and they say something that is genuinely dumb and doesn't make sense, their followers rush to go, "Oh, they're playing 4D chess. You person who is criticizing them, you're just too dumb to understand it." Yeah, here's the thing. I'm a wrestling fan. For like 6 to 8 hours a week, I choose to be dumb and watch wrestling. I acknowledge it's dumb, yet it's an art form. I want to be the dumb fan that likes everything I really do. So when you were able to move past that bumper and make me go, "I can't choose to be dumb and make up a reason to like this," that's where you've caused a problem. And I'm worried that Dwayne becomes in real life what Triple H and Stephanie were back in the day when they were running the authority angle, which was a great angle because it was in the kayfabe. The problem is we know Dwayne's not in that kayfabe. He is so corporatized now. He ain't The Rock anymore. He's Dwayne. That's why I call him Dwayne. He's so corporatized and image forward now that it ruins him showing up in a ring, which is sad.
See, the thing about bringing a scenario back, I don't have a problem with that because it's like someone redoing a song and then people heard it when they were kids, so automatically they like it again. Bringing back a scenario that worked a long time ago is fine for people who weren't cognitive enough to understand it when it first happened.
If you're going to run the authority angle, you have to be a heel. There's no face corporation. You're never going to see a guy come out and talk about profit margins and shareholder value.
He can save that if he wants, because all you need is some backstage cameras having him be in the exact opposite. So then he's public face, backstage heel, and
but
then
that's
I think
the thing.
It works. Yeah.
You haven't done that. All right. You've given me, there was one spot where you got like Dwayne the Wrestler, which is when he faced down All Ego Ethan Page. And let's be real, that guy's the most ruthless heel on any roster right now that WWE owns. If you're going to do the Rock cares about shareholder value now, especially in 2025, if you're going to do a shareholder value angle, that is, it must be a heel. Steve Austin was big because he stood up to the boss, which is, we want to put ourselves into a character's shoes. We want to see ourselves in there, and that's why we connect to wrestling so much. People love punk because they connect to the concept of being a punk, being different, whatever. Dwayne can't go, "I'm here to be WWE corporate frontman and also cheer me as a face." That's only going to last for the initial pop. If he's going to keep showing up on Raw and NXT moving forward, he's either got to be the heel or get the hell out of the way.
And do you think that hurt Ava, him being on NXT? Because he had to come down and say, "Hey, if you mess with my daughter, you mess with me," basically?
It kind of fit, like, right? All right, so one of the other things that we collectively as a society don't like are what? The boss's kid. The boss's kid who gets the job because he's the boss's kid. The boss's job that keeps the job because they're the boss's kid. We hate it worse when and only when what? The boss actively engages themselves in their kid. When my dad, when I worked for my dad, when I was a teenager, like 14, 15, my dad sent me down to the filing office of his mortgage company, and I never talked to him. And when I did, I had to call him Mr. Brown, and nobody kicked my ass more than my old man, which is the only reason I got on there. If Rock shows up and starts protecting her in spots like that with ego, what does he do? He chops the legs out from under her. They're going to go, I don't respect Ava Rain. I'm only doing this because Dwayne is here right now. Now, maybe that's the angle, but if that's the angle, you are not only in a position where you must make the Rock heel, you're a position where you got to make Ava heel too, and that's not good to me.
Well, they can save a little bit of face by making it that he's the one to beat up Eddie Thorpe and not Obafemi. Because there's no visual, and if they showed that, then he'd come down and beat up the guy that actually hit his daughter. That I'm okay with, but Ethan Page going toe to toe with The Rock shows how strong Ethan Page really is.
I like that, but I think you've still got to have a world. No, you're not creating a world where shareholder Rock is a good guy. You can't do it.
All right, let's jump to another movie star coming back. By the way, and The Rock, what's he done? I mean, in the last 10 years or so.
What's he done? You had the tag match at Mania, which they won, and then you had the concept of the final boss, which he's the linchpin that held what I thought was a great WrestleMania main event together. That's not the same without The Rock being a bad guy there. But then his very next appearance, he shows up and he's like, I love Cody Rhodes. Oh, you mean the guy that you actively threw into a tour bus and beat the crap out of, what, a year ago? Now you guys are cool? It makes no sense.
All right, I have a theory here, and it's probably already a popular theory, but I, you know, just haven't seen it yet. My theory is that Ric Flair is training right now to do one more match because John Cena is getting the belt. And he cannot, even though Ric Flair should never be in the ring again, he can't fathom the idea of him being replaced while he's still alive.
I think Ric Flair, you know what Ric Flair is? Ric Flair is what like Bear Bryant was, Bobby Bowden was. That's all they know. And when they don't have that anymore, they have nothing. And if you have nothing, what's your push to go on? And I think that's where we are. I don't think Ric Flair knows any different. And on top of that, and I say this lovingly, when Ric Flair showed up at AEW for a little while there, like it wasn't the same, right? And that's, I'm an AEW guy. I want it to succeed. But when Ric Flair showed up there, he was doing what? He was hyping his energy drink, which you have not heard of since then. Nobody sells it. Nobody carries it. Nobody cares. That's all he's got left. And the problem is WWE's not putting him in a ring. AEW's not putting him in a ring. They don't want to be the corporation that literally has Ric Flair die in a ring. So he's going to go do this on some indie show. But here's the problem. Like a band who does their For Real This Time farewell tour, but they go on farewell tours every year, nobody cares anymore. Like, nobody has done more damage, in my opinion, to Ric Flair's image in the last 3 years than Ric Flair.
Do you really swerve the audience if Cena doesn't win the belt?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
You think he can go the entire year of his farewell tour and not win the belt and it'll be okay?
Well, first off, they say farewell tour. WrestleMania is in 4 months.
Right. He's doing an entire year.
I mean, that's fair, yeah. But like, what's he going to do? So here's my question. Does he win the belt at WrestleMania? Do you take the belt off of Cody Rhodes? If so, what do you do with Cody Rhodes? Do you take the belt off of...
He didn't say which belt.
That's also true.
And I mean, you know...
But the record is heavyweight champion, not all the belts combined champion. It's heavyweight. So if he's going to set the record, he has to become the champion.
Well, I think he could beat Gunther and it works just as well. Because Ric Flair didn't win all of his championships in the WWE.
I understand, but they were all heavyweight championships. These aren't intercontinental. They're not American champions.
No. He has to win one of the big belts. I don't think he has to win Cody's belt. So, I think he could win Gunther's belt.
And that's fine. But then, again, what do you do with that? All you're doing at that point is you let Cena carry it, get the record, and then he gives his rub to whom? Do you give it right back to Gunther and go, okay, what was the point of that? Do you give it to LA Knight and let him ride that? Like, what do you do with that rocket? And the answer is, I don't know. I'll say this. If anybody that's active right now, of all the legends that are coming back, I don't think anybody deserves that opportunity more than John Cena does. But then what am I doing with it? I don't know that they're thinking that far out, but I could be wrong.
No, it's pretty easy. He wins it, then Randy Orton takes it away from him.
Are we turning back to Kevin Owens, Randy Orton at that point? Right? You see what I'm saying? Like,
hopefully.
I think there are some options that would
be a year-long thing. Why not?
That's fair. We'll see.
They pretty much plan ahead. And yes, Tom, we know it's not real. It's an art form. It is a soap opera for men.
There are athletes.
And what I think is funny is people still do the, hey, you know wrestling's real, unreal, right?
9,000th time. Everything that is not a sport, and some of them that are a sport, that's on TV, is also fake.
Especially, you know, like The Bachelor and all those reality shows.
Tom, we're not idiots. We just like entertainment. That's all. Relax. Good job getting your show name on my show, by the way. Well done.
That's twice now.
Good marketing.
I mean, I could have ignored it, but you know, nah. I think it's fun.
I don't care. Get the ride the rocket, baby. The Rob Brown Show is on top. 3-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year. If you can use me to get yourself some shine, good luck. Good luck.
And let's do one more on our way out to break. Let's mix genres here. All right. It's out there that one of the stars of Wicked wants to be the next Storm. How do they not make Jade Cargill Storm in the X-Men? How do they not do that?
I mean, honestly, that's about as good of a casting as you could ask.
She's already doing the character, basically. Yeah. Some acting lessons would help her out. And how much does she really have to talk as Storm?
I mean, enough. That character is so beloved that I think there's enough that she would have to do as an actress. I'll say this. I don't think the Jade Cargill problem has necessarily been on the mic. I think it's just been she's a relatively stiff wrestler, but they don't use her as, like, pure muscle, I'm going to punch you in the face until you fall down. They try to make her like an all-around wrestler. And it's like, that woman is chiseled out of granite.
Are they worried about...
throw people into the roof.
Are they worried about China comparisons or Glamazon comparisons?
No, I don't think so, because she's a different kind of built, right? Like, China and Beth Phoenix were both, like, stocky. Like, but Jade is, again, a Greek goddess. Just let her be her. But I can absolutely see... I can absolutely see her being cast as Storm. My question is, what are we doing with X-Men? Give me more Gambit. All right. That's a nerd crossover I didn't think was going to happen, but here we are. Kane says, Tom, you know Spider-Man isn't real, right?
You take that back, James.
Oh, man. All right. Come back. Wrap the show up. Last chance to vote. How many local sporting events do you go to a week? None? Some? Many or all? Text your answer to 844-326-3663. We will talk about that when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. All right. We asked the question this AM. How many local sporting events do you go to per month? The options were none, some, many, or all. Do you go to none? You don't care. You're not interested. Do you go to some? One, maybe two a month because you're bored or it's available and there's nothing else to do. Do you go to many? As in, like, it's a part of your rotation. Maybe you don't go to every game, but you're like, hey, it's Saturday. There's nothing going on. Let's go to a Triumph game. The Bits are playing. Let's go up to the Well. The Drive got a couple of homers this week. Let's hit a couple of baseball games. Maybe you go because, you like hitting Thursdays at floor when it's dollar beers or whatever. Or do you go to all? You're crazy about them. You're a season ticket holder to one or multiple local teams. Even if you're not, you hit games whenever you can. Here is the final vote tally. Of the votes cast, Alonzo, we had an equal number of votes say zero or some. Like, I go to one if I'm bored. We had 14% of the fans say they go to many local contests, and 0% of our fans say crazy about them. Now, I do have to acknowledge that this is obviously a very small sample size, because as somebody who works for and is a, I think, very visible supporter of all of the local teams, specifically the three here in the Ville, and I will tell you that I'll be over in the Berg for many a Spartanburger game too. As somebody who loves and supports local sports, I would say that this poll is not correct. because I know for a fact that there are at least a couple hundred Greenville Triumph season ticket holders. Many of them have become some of my best friends in this area. I know for a fact that there are Greenville Swamp Rabbit season ticket holders. I'm at every game. I talk to them. I know for a fact that there are Drive season ticket holders. There are Luxury Box ticket holders at the Greenville Drive. But I also recognize that it's not the majority of the area. So I would say these numbers are skewed. The fact that we got zero votes that say crazy about them, when I know that season ticket holders exist for all of the local teams, that season ticket holders exist for Furman and Wofford, etc., I'm going to say it's skewed, but I am also going to say, great one, it's not, I don't think, too far off from reality. I do think it is off. I do think I would say probably like maybe 1% to 2% of the area is, you know, crazy about local sports, like fans, like season ticket holders, like go to multiple games a month. But I don't think it's more than like a few percentage points. I also believe that, unfortunately or not, a solid majority of fans are either none I don't go to any, or maybe I go to like one a month. I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. I have said for years, I've said it here, I've said it everywhere. I genuinely believe that sports are a building block of the foundation of a community. And I'm talking about Little League, because sports helps form kids. It teaches them the life lessons of teamwork and perseverance and working through adversity and winning with grace and humility, losing with grace and humility. I think it teaches you those life lessons. Then you go up to high school, middle school, high school. That is where you learn to make friends. You learn to use sports when sports starts becoming, yeah, we're keeping score. Yeah, you're going to lose. Yeah, you might be on a real bad team and you got to learn how to fight through that. Up through high school, which I think teaches you civic pride and community pride, pride in representing who you are, what you represent, the people you represent when you put on those colors in that uni, where you come from, yada, yada, yada. And then all the way up through college, all the way up through our professional teams, man. I go home to Florida, and when I go home to Florida, I rep my Greenville Triumph gear. I rep my Swamp Rabbit gear, my Drive gear. I rep that even when I'm not here, because I want people to know I come from Greenville, South Carolina, and I'm damn proud of that. But I also agree that it's probably, honestly, 43% say 0% or none. 43% said some if I'm bored. That means 86% of y'all who voted said you go to zero to maybe one or two local events a year. And that doesn't shock me all that much. It really doesn't. It's unfortunate, in my opinion, but I get it. I understand it. Yeah, we'll go early today. That kind of bums it. Does that bum you out at all? It kind of bums me out a little bit. I don't know why.
I don't either.
I love local sports. So
when you go to these events, there's only like 15 people there?
No, that's why I know this poll is skewed. Like, Saturday night, we got a country music concert after the hockey game, and I know they're going to put 8,000 in that building. That's a good number. I know I go to Triumph Games. I know just the Reedy River Riot alone has upwards of 100 season ticket members, of which I am one. I know that there is a representation, but I also know, as we have said 100 times, Alonzo, we're in a 1 million person market. We are a top 70 market in the United States.
And growing.
We'll be top 50 in the next 5 years. We are in a huge market. So that is why I believe that number is probably closer to like 1% or 2% than zero, but it is still 1% or 2%. I don't know why it bums me out. I think it's because I love local sports so much, but it does.
All right. The first thing that's Xing is Jessica Alba.
Jessica Alba. I don't know or care why Jessica Alba is trending. Jessica Alba should be trending all day, every day.
All right, so it's not a thing that you should be happy about. Unless you're a single guy and she's back on the market. She just got a divorce. It's weird. She's trending, and it's one of those things where they were on X. It shows them when they're like 18 to 20. And how she's one of those people who never changes. She looks the same.
She does look the same.
And she's in her 40s, and she looks the same.
Yep. Jessica Alba was the it girl for a hot minute there back in the early 2000s. Played Miss Fantastic in the OG Final Four movie. It was not good. Played the OG Final Four.
Fantastic yeah, she Four, was, not Final Four.
Sorry, Fantastic Four. Very different franchise. But yeah, man. I'm sorry to hear that about Jessica Alba.
But if you know you guys are out there and you're eligible,
shoot your shot, young man.
Do it. I mean, Travis Kelce.
There was a video like a year or two at an NBA game where Jessica Alba walks by, and I don't remember who it was, but it was like an NFL player, an older NFL player and a younger NFL player. And you can see on the video, they caught him. He like hits and he like points at Jessica. He's like, that's Jessica Alba. And the young guy was like, who's Jessica Alba? And there was this huge thing for a while about how you can draw the divide in generations, not by music, not by whatever. You can draw the divide in generation based on like what young attractive females in movies we were attracted to. And Jessica Alba was for those of us that are now in our late 30s, early 40s, and you were in the next generation if you looked and went, who's Jessica Alba?
All right, the next thing is X-ing is Tony Khan.
Tony Khan is X-ing because AEW is had a, for the record, I thought Fight for the Fallen was pretty good. I thought that little week of shows they had was pretty good. Now they keep it up. Does this have to do with Aleister Black?
No, but last night, by the way, last night's show was pretty good.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. No, this has to do with your boy Mad Dog Russo.
Oh.
Who earlier this week destroyed, in his way, Tony Khan and his dad over the handling of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'm okay with that. Because honestly, the Jags are a dumpster fire right now.
He calls Tony the kid.
I honestly, like, again, I'm okay with that. Right? Because at the end of the day, let's call it a buck, Tony Khan isn't anything special. He's a guy that won the genetic lottery and was born to a billionaire who has so much money he doesn't care what his son does with it. I mean this. If I was born to a billionaire, I also would have started a wrestling company and it would have been better than AEW.
But this has to do with Jacksonville, who he's very involved with.
Tony Khan. Yeah, no, he is. He's not the GM, but he's like assistant to the GM for the Jags. And again, the Jags have been a dumpster fire for, I don't know, since Fast Freddie Taylor left, since Mark Brunell left.
All right, the next thing that's X-ing is Paris Hilton.
Where the hell did Paris Hilton come from? Like, she ruled the world for a while back in the late 90s, early 2000s. Then she disappeared for 20 years. Now she's got music and cooking wear and clothes, and she's all over my social media. Like, Paris Hilton disappeared for 2 decades, and now she's back to being queen of the world again?
I think she might be a mom now. That's not why she's exiting, though. She just lost her home, along with Billy Crystal and Eugene Levy and John Goodman. These are all names, James Woods. I mean, there are all these big name actors who've lost their homes in the California fires.
Yeah, let's. I want to say this, and I want to say if there's one thing I am serious about when I say to this today, I do not care that you are different from that region politically or geophysically or whatever it is. This situation is sad. And at some point, even if it's not for the celebrities, Paris Hilton's got money to replace her home. James Woods has got money to replace his homes. There are people over there that are hurt. There are people that are over there that are not movie stars, that this is a devastating issue to. At some point, we are going to be called to mobilize to help. Just like people got called to mobilize to help after Helene hit here, we are going to be called to mobilize to help. And I hope that you will put aside your political differences, your philosophical differences, and when fellow Americans need help, as we have always done, let's rally and help. That's it for us, y'all. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks for being here. I'm Rob. He's Lonzo. We'll see you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better, on the Friday edition of the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later.